Tonight, I want you to turn in your Bible, if you will, to the first book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 10, if you have your Bible, please. Listen carefully as I read from verse number 26. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, 1,400, 12,000 horsemen, when he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stone, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn, and king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver. And a horse was sold for 150 shekels of silver. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. And as I was reading this, I said, Lord, how in the world can I get anything out of this? And then I turned over to the book of Solomon, the very first chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse from Song of Solomon, and verse number 9, and this is God talking, and he said, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. And I'd like to title this message, God's Thoroughbreds. Now, I know a lot of men that I wouldn't compare to horses, but I would compare them to the lesser sort, donkeys, if you will. There's another vernacular that I will not use, even though I find it in the Word of God, but I'll be a little dignified tonight. But I find King Solomon's love for horses and chariots, 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen. His horses were of noble strain and high pedigree. The treasury of Solomon was tapped whenever he saw a magnificent steed. And this vivid book of the Song of Solomon is an allegory of Christ and the church. And there's a lot of great truths that are gleaned from this text. God is comparing you and me to outstanding thoroughbreds. God has a lot of thoroughbreds in the ministry, in the church, but they didn't get that way from the start. And there is a sequence that I want to develop because I believe that this is how God begins his work in every one of our lives. You that are here with us tonight, this is the very beginning. The very first thing that had to be done, that these magnificent animals had to be bought, purchased, if they were going to pull the king's chariot, there was a price that had to be paid. This was the beginning. And I see this picture. There's nothing more magnificent than the creature of a horse. You've seen the stallions possibly on television. these splendid steeds with glistening coats, trim fetlocks, and arched necks with high-priced animals. And every time Solomon saw one, he spent a fortune to have it in his stable. And he had it for one purpose, so that it could pull the king's chariot. And God is comparing horses with his church. And this is the very beginning when God reaches down and buys you and me from the slave market of sin. First of all, we have to be purchased. And thank God for the price that has been paid. I have been redeemed, but not with silver and not with gold. But we have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when you first heard the gospel preached and you responded to that gospel? Many of you are here tonight. Some of you have turned on the television set. I'm not talking to you about horses, but I'm talking to you about people. God has great men and women in the church today that are thoroughbreds, that are pulling the king's chariot. And they're going all over the world. Two of them, they had hands laid on a husband and wife and a little baby that she's carrying, going to Hong Kong, China, to pull the Lord's chariot. Are you listening to me? But there's something that takes place before all this happens. You must be purchased first. These horses are bought. These souls are bought. This is the reason why we go on television. This is the reason why we go into the inner cities, into the very heart of the cities, where the action is. And we preach the gospel to let people know that God is concerned about them and the price has been paid for their redemption. Not money, not silver, not gold, but the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago when Christ left all the glories of heaven, took upon himself the form of a human, became as one of us, and he was born with one purpose and one thought in mind, and that was to pay the supreme penalty, to die on Calvary and to shed his blood in order that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank God we have been bought. We have been purchased. Our sins are gone. After we are purchased, there's something else that takes place, and I'm talking about the church. Before that horse can be used, and before you as an individual can be used, that horse must be broken. That horse must be trained. Are you listening to me? Nobody wants to go through the training process. We have two baseball players in the audience tonight. Jesse Barfield, who's a member of this church. And we have another member of the San Francisco Giants. And I forgot his name. Mike Jackson? Thanks, Mike. Mike Jackson. Now, when you see these men playing on a baseball team, there's more to this. You know, when you see them stepping up to the plate, Jesse Barfield was a home run champion in 1986. So, oh, I could do that. You'll strike out every time. There's a whole lot of training. There's a whole lot of breaking in that he had to go through. There's the minor leagues. There's a whole lot of suffering before you get to that top spot. And it's the same thing with the church. How many young preachers come in here to look at this man of God who's pastoring this church? He's one of God's thoroughbreds. have young preachers coming here saying, I can do this. Go take a look at the food store first, the feed store, I mean. You got to see where it had its humble beginnings. Are you listening to me? There's been a whole lot of crying nights. There's been a whole lot of troubles that he had to go through. But thank God he is a thoroughbred now. Nobody wants to be broken. What a sight to behold. High stepping horses moving in precision together, pulling the king's chariot. And they respond to the slightest touch of the one who wields the reins. Are you listening to me? Story was told. I heard a preacher tell the story of a young man that got saved this night. And he was a jockey. He was a little person who was a well-known jockey that answered the altar call. And the preacher was preaching Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the colt that was unridden before, the foal of an ass. And he marched into Jerusalem, and the crowd was taking palm branches and waving them. And Jesus took that colt right through the crowd. And that young convert who was a jockey said to the preacher, Jesus must have had wonderful hands. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, when he drove that donkey through the streets of Jerusalem, it was possibly one of those Syrian donkeys that cannot stand to have people around it. But because of his hands, the donkey never acted up. But it stayed on course because of the touch of the master's hand. Are you listening to me? And I want you to know, hear me, when you get saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, when you have your life purchased by God and the breaking in session comes, you have somebody that's holding the reins. You're not going to quit like some scrub horse, but you're going to become a thoroughbred. You're going to go through the water, but the water will not overflow you. You will go through the fire, but you shall not be burned. Why? Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. It is the training session. This is time to train, because God is breaking us in, getting us ready to move in his will. In the book of Job, the 12th verse of the 11th chapter, it says, man by nature is wild and rebellious. Not only man, women too. Like an unbroken colt, we rebel at restraint. This is the reason why we have problems in the cities today. Because people rebel against restraint. And we have it in the church. We kick up our heels. The key word is rebellious. Nobody wants to submit, but thank God, when we do, we realize that he has his hand on the thermostat, and he has his eye on the thermometer, and he just knows how much you can bear. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Sorrow may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have been bought. And after we have been bought, we were broken. Then I want you to know that these horses are of high pedigree. We are a blood-bought people. Carefully chosen. Remember, you didn't choose God. God chose you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Look at somebody and say, I am somebody.
I am somebody.
Ooh, don't that sound good? The devil telling you you're nothing, But I want you to know you're a child of God. You're not a scrub horse. You don't know what it is to quit, but you're a thoroughbred, and you're going to endure no matter what the devil throws against your path. You're coming out of this thing smelling like a rose. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
One of God's thoroughbreds is on an ash heap by the name of Job, and his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said, "You talk like one of them foolish women that don't know God. I know my Redeemer liveth, and though he slay me, yet will I trust him." This is a thoroughbred. This is what God wants to make out of every one of us. Do you remember when this great man of God by the name of Saul of Tarsus became the greatest apostle that ever lived? When it was the Christian people that urged him and tried to influence him, "Don't go to Jerusalem." They pleaded with him, "They're going to bind you there." But this thoroughbred stood high and said, he said, "I'm not ready to be bound only, but I'm also ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is a thoroughbred. Oh, hallelujah. God goes down into the ghetto and picks up a drug addict. Somebody you wouldn't touch. But he reaches down that strong right hand and pulls them out. Washes them in his blood. Takes a stony heart out of them. Puts in a heart of flesh. Puts a robe of righteousness around them. Writes their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he calls them son. Oh, hallelujah. You're a chosen generation. I don't care who you are. God never reached up to get anybody. He always reaches down to get you. And this is the beginning of the process. You are a royal priesthood. You're a member of royalty. You are a child of God. You are somebody. And God's getting you ready to pull the gospel chariot. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This is what it's all about. From the Mount of Lebanon to Jerusalem, it's about 100-mile journey. It's a long way for horse and chariot. These animals had to be chosen to bear the chariot over that great distance. And I want you to know those that are going to bear the chariot of this gospel. It's going to be in the inner cities. It's going to be on foreign soil. Thank God you got a world vision right here in Lakewood. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. He did not choose seraphims or angels or archangels, but he has chosen redeemed sinners to bear the King's gospel chariot. Aren't you glad he chose you? Aren't you glad he called you? Hallelujah. That job you have is secondary. God not only gave you the skills to hit a baseball, but God put you out there so you can let Jesus shine from your life to let the world know that Christ lives on the inside of you. Can you shout amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is what it's all about. God, and we've heard prophecies today that ought to encourage every one of you that are here. The day of the big preacher is over. God is getting an army together in this last day, and they're an army of thoroughbreds that are going to do what God called them to do. And we're going to see signs and wonders like we've never seen. God working through his church, through his people that are obedient unto his voice. That's going to culminate in the greatest miracle of this age. And that's when we bring Jesus back. Jesus is coming. I said Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Thank God. God, I feel privileged that he called me to carry this gospel chariot into Russia. You know, there was a time when I was blackballed in Russia. I wasn't allowed in there. Because of my meeting in West Germany. I went to West Germany and had, my name is a German name, Schambach. And we had one of the greatest revivals I ever had. And I was scheduled to preach Martin Luther's 500th anniversary, but it hit the front pages of the paper. One of the greatest miracles I ever saw was a man who I fought against in World War II. He was carrying American shrapnel in his body. He was my enemy, a Nazi. Here he is, crippled with all kinds of tubes running from his nose and his eyes and his ears, totally helpless. And I'm preaching through an interpreter in the German language. 39 commentators were there from all over Europe. When all of a sudden, in the middle of my message, that man stood up, pulled the tubes out of his face, and started running around that building, totally healed by the power of God. Those correspondents come running. What happened? I said, ask him. I don't know. I don't know German. I can't understand it. And when you find out, let me know what happened. It hit the front pages of the paper. That night I had to hide behind the pulpit. I've never seen so many crutches and canes flying in all my life. I'm standing ankle deep in canes and crutches because of one miracle that took place. Everybody was getting healed in the building. Are you listening to me? It hit the front pages of the paper. I had 300 people with me, and we went to Checkpoint Charlie to go into East Berlin. I'm going to preach Martin Luther's 500th anniversary, and all of a sudden they stopped us. Kept us there for an hour, and finally here comes a Russian colonel. Sharp-looking dude. I mean, gentleman. He looked me right in my eye and he said, your presence is not desired in our country. I said, who are you? He said, not only in East Berlin, but you will never be permitted in Russia. I am a Russian colonel. I took my shoes off and I rubbed the dust on his uniform. I read somewhere in there, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Of course, it didn't say on his uniform. I just added that to it. And I said, the blood of these people will be on your hands in the day of judgment. Oh, hallelujah. So instead of going into East Berlin, 300 of us went to that wall. We laid hands on the wall. We talked to the wall. I said, wall, you're coming down. Wall, you're coming down. Do you hear me, wall? Fall, wall! Fall, wall! Remember when the wall came down? I took credit for it. Hallelujah! You got a miracle in your mouth. You got to talk to it. I don't care how long it takes, but it's got to come down. Can you shout amen? When I got that visa to go into Russia, into Moscow, into St. Petersburg, and into Kamchatka, I tell you, I felt so thrilled. I said, here I am. I even went to McDonald's in Moscow and had one of them, what do they call them, double-tiered thing? Big Mac, that's it. You know what it is, don't you? Right on that Moscow Square. Hallelujah. Just to know that they tried to keep you out. Thank God I preached the gospel in Russia. And souls are coming to know Christ. That's what it's all about, folks. This is the reason why we buy time on television. To let you know that God has purchased you. You don't know anything about it. But he's already bought you. Why do you let that devil control your life when God has already paid the price? All you have to do is surrender and come to him. He said, he or she that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. God's got a miracle with your name on it if you'll come to him. You folks that answered this altar call, look at me. Welcome to the family. I said, welcome to the family.